From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. And as we're getting ready to shoot today, Andrew's computer is acting strangely. So we're like, well, let's debug it. That's what this show's all about, right?
Yeah, so to the point that couldn't move the mouse.
Right.
Otherwise, it was like, duh, 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 duh.
Really slow, like painting the screen.
I don't know
really
where
slowly.
We are now, but.
How's it doing now?
It's a little bit better now.
For one thing, you're almost out of disk space, but that's probably not the issue.
If you bring up, go press the Explorer,
process
you can see.
Explorer.
What made me immediately realize it is I had this down here, and you can see that it was quite saturated.
Oh, all the red there.
And
now, I don't remember. The red is kernel and green is
user
right? So
now,
that's a lot of kernel mode activity.
10 minutes ago when we were looking at this, it was 100%.
Yeah.
It was well past the point of saturation, hence why the mouse was a bit more jumpy.
Yeah.
There's a bit of bandwidth left now,
yeah,
but still not much. And I think if we look at per CPU, it has been spread around, which is, we've had some questions on the email alias about at defragtools@microsoft.com, mm-hmm, about, was it a mouse that was going flaky? What was Chris's issue?
I think he just had high CPU usage showing up attributed to system.
Mm.
And so we're still kind of working through that, but we had him collect a trace with WPR and look at it in WPA, and it looks like there's a high rate of interrupts coming in through ACPI, which means something in the BIOS is constantly kind of spamming us with interrupts.
Was it affiliated with one particular CPU, or was it being delivered to any CPU?
You know, I'm not sure we looked, but typically there, if it's a hardware interrupt like that, it's going to come in on one core.
Yeah, and that's what actually why I brought up this view, because I was interested to see if it was pegged on one CPU particularly.
Yeah.
And we kind of mentioned this last week with the networking, the TCP offload and the other name thing, which I always forget what it's called, the thing that round robins the request, network packets can be assigned to CPU 0 by default, or if the driver is capable of doing multi-CPU, you can spread the interrupts over the CPUs.
Right. I'm sure there's some name for that.
Yeah, I always forget what it's called.
Yeah.
anyway, so... the reason I went into CPU view right this in Process Explorer was to see if there's any affiliation within any particular core. It's not, it's spread out, which immediately tells me probably not interrupt driven. That's really the only thing that causes affinity. It's pretty rare that an application will set affinity.
I mean, you could do it or they can do it programmatically, but it's not.
And I think Mark lets you, like, I'll run Notepad. And, where'd Notepad go? Notepad. And Mark lets you do it in here. You can say set affinity, and I only want it to be on CPU 0.
Yeah,
but, you know,
typically
that's,
not.
So now when this runs,
it'll all be.
Actually, what I can do is do this. And it's already high. So, but if I cause CPU traffic.
Notepad.
I don't think we're going to see it because it's already saturated. But
and Notepad's not a huge CPU.
Well, if you do copy paste, is pretty bad.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, there you go. So you can see the red.
Yeah. There you go.
So
you can see, it's all on that one CPU core.
Yeah. So that red is
because you affinitized it to
that
CPU
core.
Zero.
And I'm guessing if I hover over here, it's going to say Notepad was the one core.
Look at that.
Right. So.
Right.
I mean, this is a good example where a system is not 100% pegged, but it's not in a good situation. Battery life is going to be dying.
Yep.
Goes back 2 weeks, do a battery report, and it's going to be pointing fingers at left, right, and center of things.
Right.
So, how do you approach this? Now, obviously, we've over the 160 shows, we've shown the nth way of doing it. We've shown, you know, we tend to go very deep and not really the cursory.
Yeah.
So that's actually, use that as an example. Actually, I think we're at 100 now, very close to it.
It went back up.
And this is a good example of what you can do straight away. Process Explorer is a really good way of seeing where you are. I mean, if you take the task manager approach, yes, it's going to give you a pretty good view of where it's going. Right. And we can sort by CPU and
WMI.
Windows installers now. Pretty busy.
Not WMI. WMI would be Windows Management Instrumentation.
Which I'm sure is in the list.
Windows Modules Installer Worker is something else.
Module Installer, I don't
know. So something is...
And WMI is always on the list there.
Yeah, WMI.
It's always doing something.
Yeah.
investment.
So yeah, it's running hot, and it's not running as hot as it was a little while ago. Actually, I might redo a reboot and see if we can repro it. But yeah. So cursory wise, you know, presses task manager will let you see what's busy. This is foreground apps, background apps, roughly, you know, what's in your face, what's not in your face.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to do, because I do a lot of stress testing in my work, I try to balance CPU and disk when I'm doing testing, because if I've got, if I'm not 100% CPU, it's usually because I'm overly stressing the disk.
Okay.
And so when I, in my test runs, I try to get both to 100%.
Right.
And so I might do things like, well, I put temp drive on one SSD, and so I might download to one file, one disk, an SSD, and then I'll extract it to another one.
Right.
And so just to split out the load of I/O, and that way you can kind of balance up the disk. And this actually, if this was a test run, which it's not, this would be a quite good situation where disk is nearly 100% and CPU is nearly 100%. It was really where I really want to be. So I'll balance the load when
and
I'm doing testing.
And your memory is pretty well saturated too. Three out of 4 gigabytes.
And
used.
It just so happens that Wi-Fi is not the last one that's not being used. But very quick, easy overview. Now, I can't hover over this and say, hey, this is Notepad. This is, it just says CPU activity. I can do the same thing that Presses Explorer can do with the per CPU graph. I can do that here and do logical processes so you roughly see the same thing. Mm. And quite frankly, Task Manager is taking a lot of design cues from Presses Explorer. I mean, that's, Mark tends to set the standard and then Task Manager follows.
He's kind of a little ahead of the curve on it.
Yeah. The same thing goes for startup. It's kind of a simple version of auto runs and everything else. So next step is to go to Presses Explorer. I suggest that you run it elevated. I mean, I've already done it, so it's not here. But that way you get a better view. For the sake of working out what's hot, then it's not really conducive to have the one graph view. You just want it overall. At the moment, TI Worker, which is Trusted Installer
Which is you've got Windows. some kind of installation.
Some updates happening. But back in time, there was an SVC, I saw an SVC host that was the hottest in that period. Was this some PowerShell was going bad. PowerShell,
right.
Service Host, and it goes and goes and goes.
Right.
So this is a good example where it seems that a boot trace might be helpful, because it seems that the first 5-10 minutes of this box is a little bit saturated, and we can optimize that a bit.
And this is one where maybe you hadn't booted up in a while too.
I hadn't logged into this profile, the Channel 9 profile, since I think December last year.
And you got maybe some scripts kicking off in the background or something.
One of the things that did pop up was OneDrive, and it was using a lot. So I knew nothing had changed OneDrive wise for this guy, which is where the link comes from. The Channel 9 user is who's, when we have that show, the show link to samples.
Oh, right, with all of our OneDrive samples that we have up on the defrag tools page.
It comes from this user.
Right,
this is his account.
Yeah, yeah.
Matter of factly, I went back to all of the Windows Performance Toolkit episodes way back in the 20s and 30s and 40s.
Okay.
And I updated all of the SkyDrive links to OneDrive.
Right, when they changed to OneDrive, they broke all our links. So all our old shows had the wrong link. We get occasionally would get emails about that. Where are those files?
So I had 15 minutes the other day, so I went through every single episode, slowly going backwards, and checking all the links just for that link.
Good.
I didn't check every other link, but I just checked the SkyDrive links.
Okay, so good. Those are fixed. The right link is on the main defrag tools, just if you go to our main defrag tools page, right?
And you can see how slow this is running. This thing is pegged.
It's really running slow.
I mean, this is SSD. It's no excuse to be running. I've already been in Edge before.
Oh.
If you ever want the link, it is right there on the home page, I suppose you'd call it that.
Right there, OneDrive link.
That's actually the same link as that.
Same as that. So that is where we keep all of our goodies show on the show.
So this is going to be a bit of an inception moment where I'm actually OneDriving into my own account. In the public link, but there's all the stuff.
Right.
So this thing's still pegged, right?
And it's still running hot.
Yeah, you know, idles at 60-40, so about 50% is being used.
Still, yeah.
So it's not really where you want it to
be. Still pretty busy, considering you're really not doing anything.
TI worker, you can kind of understand, but just find out what this guy's installing at least.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
I mean, obviously, I'm guessing check for updates is probably going to tell me that, oh, actually, it's not trying to do anything. That's interesting. So Windows Update isn't actually busy right now.
No.
And that retry is, I got a bad download of the HP driver.
Can we find out who instantiated the TI worker?
We can. So if we go into Control T for tree view, there you have it right there. So it's an NT service, and NT services under this, thank you for the tooltip, is background task infrastructure, which I don't really know what that is. DCOM, DCOM's just a way of remote starting COM objects. The local session manager, so just worrying about per user stuff. The power manager, plug and play, and the system events broker. So the system events may be receiving an event, and that's what caused it.
Yeah, somebody may have just called some installer API, and that goes through that.
Yeah. So if we look at this thing,
servicing stack.
I double clicked on it, and about I'll say a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, someone helped Mark add that's in process monitor, but you know, the command line has been added. And so this happens to be running out of the side-by-side folder. The servicing stack is, you know, what the TI worker is. It's all about installing software, but it doesn't really tell you what the job is.
Yeah.
Performance-wise, yeah, it's banging away at CPU and I/O and everything else. And we can see that a bit more simplistically. It's just, ouch, ouch, ouch. Now, this view here is from the time you open the properties page, not from when you open Presses Explorer. Mark doesn't keep all that data around.
And essentially, what you're seeing here is almost 25% CPU. You have four logical CPUs.
So it's probably one thread.
It's probably just pegging one CPU core.
And IO-wise, it's banging away at 160 megabytes, or the average is 300 megabytes. Oh, so that's private bytes. It's using 300 megabytes of RAM. But disk-wise, it's pretty low. So it's really a CPU issue. Yeah. And I would assume that we haven't got massive disk I/O and network I/O numbers. A little bit. Actually, we've read a gigabyte.
Yeah, quite a bit of disk.
GPUs, not a GPU app, so it's not surprising. I'm going to skip threads because that's going to cheat. TCP/IP, it's not talking to anything.
No.
That explains why we've got no network access. Security, who he is. It is running as Trusted Installer, which I would hope for if it's going to be the TI worker.
Yeah.
This is the guy who has rights to change your System32 files and more importantly, things like store apps and everything else.
Right.
And that's why you can't even do it yourself as an administrator. Environment variables, this is what it picked up when it was running. You know, here's our NT source paths for symbols, for example. And strings, so we may be able to work out what's happening. Now, memory is going to, image is going to be what strings are in the executable. So Mark just scans through the raw bytes of it, and then if he finds five or six characters in a row that look like a string, he pulls
like
it out.
It's like the old strings utility that you can run from command line.
Exactly the same thing.
Yeah, that's the sysinternals tool.
So this is all his, you know, this is things that you might see that in a message. In a message box, for example.
So this is useful if you have a program, you don't know what it is, you might be able to get some clue just from looking at the image strings.
Yeah, and so here's all the error codes it can support. Yeah. Which is kind of interesting that comes. There must be a table somewhere that says, if I see this error code, print out this string, which is the hash defined for the error code. But the image doesn't really help us because that's not the workload. And so let's look at the memory instead. So memory is what it's executing right now. So hopefully we might find some paths.
Some of this is probably the same as the image, right?
Yeah, you get all the image ones.
The image is in memory.
And then maybe...
Anything interesting?
Nothing's jumping out at me, no.
Yeah, not really.
All right, so let's go back to threads. So this thing's, as we see, very, very hot. The way that we get a decent name here is over here, we have to have our options set for symbol resolution. So actually, this guy's not even using the decent one.
Right, so the debug help that ships in Windows System 32 is like an older, less featureful version.
Yeah, it's a subset. We don't ship as much API surface as the one from the debugging tools.
So you happen to have the debugging tools you installed in that folder. You can point it there and maybe get a little better.
Yeah, and so might, for the sake of it, I might just close it to make sure that we get a brand new one. I don't know, Mark, does or doesn't unload it, reload it, but just for the sake of it.
Just to make sure it's getting the new one. Wow.
Yeah, the CPU is a bit tough on this box, so it's everything's a bit slow. This is what, you know, this is what I was noticing.
Yeah. Like, why is it so slow? There we go.
There we go. So we've lost all our history, of course, but this thing's still busy.
Still busy, doing its thing.
And actually, we've now got slightly different function names. So if we look at the stack, so this is...
Are you running elevated?
Well, did I run elevated? I didn't. Good call. The other thing is, it may be so locked down that even administrator doesn't have access. Remember how he said trusted installer is its runner? I don't know if, decent function name. And then here's a stack.
Create delta.
Now, these numbers are really high, so it means you've only got the export. And I think we've talked about this at length, but.
Yeah, if you see real big offset numbers in the symbols, it's not really the function it's in.
But it's Windows WCP.dll, which is...
And that one's a plus 30F, which is pretty small, so that probably is the correct function.
So we've got CBS Core.
CBS Core, so that's... this is a part of the component... I forget what that stands for, component build, component something but, servicing.
So CBS, remember they're CBS, WCP, and MS Delta. They will be loaded in this process. And the one that's highlighted right here, we can press module, and Mark will bring up the module. That's the what he thinks is to blame. And so we can jump across here and
see. Component-based servicing, there we go.
There we go, so it's about installing a Delta of something.
Yes.
All right. And then if we bring up the lower pane, control L for lower, we can see all the files that it's using, and particularly we can look for that WCP.dll. I mean, or I could just go into the System32, but there we go, in that process. And I clicked on it and it's highlighted it down here in the list. And so you can see it's out of the side-by-side folder again. Yeah. Windows Componentization Platform Servicing API.
So CBS is essentially the infrastructure that we use to install Windows updates.
Yeah. And so that's what it's doing. It is currently installing update, and it's taking a lot of CPU to work that out.
It may have to go through. Sometimes there are situations where it has to go through and kind of do a rescan of what's really on your system, because to make sure that we install the right updates, first of all, we have to know what you have.
Yeah.
So that's, and there's a database, but sometimes it has to resync that database, which is a pretty heavy process. So I wonder if something like that is...
Well, let's see what it's touching. I mean, we know it's got a bit of disk, because it's read a gigabyte, and this, we know it's obviously thinking about what it's doing. So the next step is press this monitor. I'm going to reset it, choose the process of TI. If you just type a couple of letters, we've never run a trace. So reset, okay, control X. And my machine is running slow, isn't it?
Well, your disk is pretty busy right now, too.
Actually, the light isn't on much.
No?
So,
it was earlier.
Well, there goes TI Worker, so we can right-click on him and go... Ah, no, exclude.
Oh.
Other way around.
Include.
Double-click it, deletes it from the list, puts it up top, change it to include, put it back down again.
There you go.
All right, so here is...
So, procmon.
Well, a lot CBS of writing to log files.
Lots to the CBS log.
And we can jump to that. And I'm guessing, if it's a half-decent component, jump to works, it is rolling the log. So it's keeping it small, I think. Mm-hmm. But out of interest, we can just open that up.
Trusted installer.
Current tick count lower than last tick count. Invalid data. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think... It's having a bit of a hissy fit.
Current tick, I'm not sure what this is about. Current tick count lower. Huh.
That is kind of interesting.
Can you see if you scroll up maybe what kicked off this process or?
So let me reduce the font a little bit just so we see a bit more on the screen. So,
evaluating package.
Current account, blah, blah, blah. Creating entity transactions. So they added transactional support to the file system back in Windows 7. And actually, if you look at the Windows 7 talk by Mark Rusinovich, he goes through that a little bit. I think that's still the highest rating Channel 9 video ever with like 800,000 hits or something.
Wow.
It's pretty massive. We'll put a link in the notes. If you haven't seen it, watch it. I mean, I know it's old and all, but it's just a really good video. There's a reason why it has 800,000 hits.
We'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Yeah. So, yeah, this tick thing seems to be important and maybe related to the fact that it may be never getting it. It's probably trying and trying and trying and trying.
So it's just a warning, so it doesn't necessarily mean that it's
Yeah, we never see error, do we?
Yeah. There's definitely a lot going on here, and you can see these are coming in. If you look at the timestamps, like several times a second, we're getting these.
But they are making progress over time, so it's not like a million a second. So
yeah.
It's just a block, block, block. So it seems to be very repetitive for a long. Oh, here we go.
Okay, evaluating.
So this is different. So we have tick, error found, inverse in lock order. So, and then error, inverse in lock order. Unstaging superseded driver. And so this msports.inf.
You're getting a driver uninstalled.
And so it's also trying to do some Bluetooth stuff, some bus stuff to do with the, and then some USB. Yeah, some very, very low level driver stuff.
So, yeah.
And then regenerate two candidates, remove three. Yeah. There's 362 candidates that need changing. Null data compression candidates. Now, I have no idea what any of this means.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be a really expert on the CBS and the trusted installer and all that. But you can. But the general gist of it here is that you're getting some drivers updated and it's going through and
doing a whole of validation of that.
Validating.
And it is having a slight hiccup as it does it.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Maybe is or isn't affecting the progress. Mm-hmm. So that explains that, and that gives us the log. That's not a bad step.
Yeah.
So this can exclude that. We've kind of taken that off our list of things we care about. There seems to be a registry key where they track progress.
Interesting.
Did that jump to fail?
I think it's just being slow.
Let's try it again. I think that the CPU amount's kind of hurting it a bit.
I think this particular machine is a little bit older, has a kind of a lower end CPU.
It's a very slow i5.
Core i5 or something.
So here's this progress thing. So obviously this means something to someone. Maybe it's a transaction. Actually, the fact that it's got that much width, to us it's kind of obvious, but probably not to other people. That's two D words written out as Lower Indian rather than Higher Indian. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's one status code and that's one status code.
Or if it's progress, maybe it's a percentage versus complete or I don't know what it is. But
something. It means something to someone.
Yes.
So that kind of explains that one. And then one of the easiest things you can do is, I mean, you're going to get a lot of closes which relate to an open, so we can exclude those. And out of this interest, create file is roughly when you're opening a file or making a file. So let's just highlight those rather than. So these are the files it's touching. And there's another way you can work out what the files it's hitting on disk is you can use the file summary. And so we can say, there you go, that's where they are. And actually we can do it by folder. So you can say, so the big ones that got red.
Wow.
400 megabytes.
480 megabytes total.
That side-by-side area is being used a lot. So it looks like a lot of side-by-side components are being evaluated or enumerated. Mm. And then everything else tends to be a bit smaller, more assemblies and stuff. But it's definitely. Yeah.
Essentially, I think it's
a Windows update situation.
It's a situation where I think it's going and scanning what's currently on your system so that it knows what needs to be updated.
And I don't know if registry is going to give us much.
Now, what I would hope, because you're on AC power now, I would hope that if you were on battery, that it would pause whatever this is. But I'm not sure what the logic is on that.
Yeah. Thinking. But yeah, we've narrowed it down. Yeah. I mean, the Presses Explorer in the tray said, "Hey, this is a bit sus." Actually, the mouse not moving was a big clue too.
Yeah. There may have been something even more going on at first, because when we first noticed this, it was really, really slow.
Yeah. So we brought up a command prompt. Yeah. And each character was being drawn.
You were watching it paint.
It was like a teletype.
Like 1200 baud modem.
Maybe worse.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
We've narrowed it down to the trusted installer, all the hard drive stuff associated with that. It's thinking a lot. There's errors in the event log or in its personal log that suggests that it's having a slight conniption. And so that's where we are with that. What would you do in general? This hasn't been turned on for 3 or 4 months.
Looks like it's settling down now too, if you look.
It's still going. I think everything else is settling down.
Yeah.
But it has got better, look. I mean, memory's dropped down.
Yep.
And so.
Yeah. I think it's a matter of you hadn't booted up in a while into this profile, kicked some scripts maybe kicked off or Windows Update stuff, and it.
Actually, a lot of this might be Presses Monitor. Glad it's closed. It says this is the logging that was happening.
Yeah, you did just close it.
Yeah, but IO is still kind of not a huge amount. Work is still the main cause.
Yeah. But it's a good exercise if you have a system that you're like, what's going on? Why is this slow? You know, these tools are a great way to find out.
Yeah, and I think if it continued, like if it never ever ended, then you're in a situation where obviously there is something programmatically wrong, whether it be a data integrity issue, or literally a bug in the code, and either way, you need to kind of go to the next level. Mm-hmm. With this type of complexity, it probably is a Microsoft support call rather than defrag tools. We haven't got infinite time, you know. seriously, officially, if it was a corporation or something like that, without a doubt, Microsoft support call to drill into it, you'll get routed to experts in this exact technology and.
Yeah.
Probably get quite a fast turnaround. It may be something simple as a known bug where there is a patch for it. Actually, it's really dropped off now. So it seems we have...
Yeah, whatever it was doing seems to have ended.
And now we are at Presses Explorer because it's just painting the UI.
Right.
So
So this is a case where it's like, well, just wait for it to finish what it's doing.
I turned it on, about 10 o'clock? Maybe a bit less than that.
Yeah, maybe it took an hour of high processing.
But it's happy now. So the other thing that I was going to show you, and it was part of this story, and I'll go through it even though we're on zero CPU power, is in Presses Explorer, you can see all these processes, and one of them for me was OneDrive.
Yeah.
And it was going flat chat, and actually it's still in the list. So if I search for... Searching for it is not the best way, but because this is searching all module lists, but it will find it. There we are. So there's OneDrive in the OneDrive process. And I thought, okay, I hadn't logged on for a while. Of course, OneDrive is going to have to do some scanning to make sure that this file system matches what's in the cloud.
Yeah, it's got to sync your...
And so I closed it. I right-clicked OneDrive down here, went exit, and the process didn't go away. And I was like, oh, is it hung? Is it stuck?
Yeah.
And it's actually a more obvious answer than that. It's that if I go into select columns and go to users, and I'll shove this over here a bit more on the left, it wasn't my copy. It was...
Right. You've got two users logged on.
My other user was logged on.
Right.
And so the OneDrive that was busy was actually the other user. I turned the machine on, it happily resumed from sleep and started doing its sync because I haven't synced for a while. Well, my OneDrive is huge.
Oh.
Huge.
Oh, your personal OneDrive.
My personal one.
Yeah.
It has, because they added lots of support for like music and stuff. So at some point I ripped, my wife and I ripped every single CD we owned.
Yeah.
And sat there for 1 or 2 days, and Windows Media Player back then. Put the disc in, auto rips.
Yep.
You start playing the song, you get about half the song done before it ejects the CD next time. So we sat there and listened to half a song for for 2 days, but our entire collection, hundreds and thousands of CDs, were ripped.
Yeah.
And then OneDrive has to support that if you put it in the music folder.
Right.
From that point on, Microsoft Music will play it regardless of if you have it synced. If it's seen it once in the OneDrive music folder, it is in your collection as a bought asset.
You own the rights to it.
And so my OneDrive has that in it.
All your CD collection.
The other obvious one is your, what they call the SkyDrive camera roll, which is obviously a legacy name from OneDrive camera roll, but still called the SkyDrive camera roll as a folder. So every photo you ever take on your phone is there. Well, there's thousands of files in that folder.
Right.
And then I also keep a whole lot of personal stuff in there as well. So I literally have in the millions of files taking up gigabytes and gigabytes. So it takes OneDrive a lot of effort to work out if something has to get synced.
Yep.
And so every time I boot, I take this 3 or 4 minute tax of OneDrive working everything out. Mm. And that's what it was. So when I opened the, the PowerShell's. That PowerShell's running hot. So OneDrive from the other user. So add in the user column, sorted by user, kind of obvious. Easy way to do it is log them off. And I think under users.
Oh, can you do it from here?
You can log them off.
Oh, you can log them off remotely.
Don't even have to.
Because you're running elevated.
Yeah. Ah, and they got a graceful log off, and that's
pretty slick.
Slick, right?
Because otherwise you'd have to go in, switch users,
know their password.
That's true.
So you can shut it down, but you can't log them off with that password.
Yeah.
This PowerShell is now gone. So it was running, and it was running very hot. Notice how everything's gone red. So I had the property page up while it was running. So this guy was. Okay, so it was
Microsoft IT.
Direct access DNS suffix search list task. And so you might go, well, obviously I want to keep this one.
Yeah.
But that's a good example of something you go, do I really want that to be running at the start? And there's a couple of ways of, if you say, you know what, that's just killing CPU power, it's pointless, I don't want it. You can just bring up task scheduler and then Mark gave you the link. And then under, it was in the root, so MSIT, what was it, something?
Oh, that was some of my Microsoft IT right there.
Actually,
is
I think.
Is that the one? Oh, no, you had, it was called.
It was somewhere else. I closed the page. Anyway, you can go in here, navigate to the right folder. It might be under the VPN. That would be a logical place for it. No. You look right here and you might go disable. You could disable it. The other way,
your IT admin might not be happy with you.
Well, also the other thing is that they might have policies that are going to stop that from happening.
That's true.
The other things you can do if it's a bit more if you want a more friendly environment is to do it in auto runs, right? And so schedule tasks, and then it was called. This is Mark still scanning. And it was called, I don't see it in the list, direct access. So it may not be a scheduled task, it may be actually somehow. Does he have a find? He does. That hit directory.
That's going to find a lot of hits.
No, I didn't actually find it. Oh, I ran it. You know why? Because I didn't run as administrator.
You don't run as administrator, you only see your own stuff that you've launched.
And there it is.
There it is.
Oh, it's actually find not found. Now, it'll be a find not found because it will be on a network share.
And so
if we double click on that and go.
Property?
Oh, there's no properties. Anyway.
No, there's properties at the bottom. Oh, here we go.
Anyway, and this is actually brought up user mode, not as administrator. Anyway, the point is you could disable it that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's an example of a system that was unstable for a little while.
Running slow.
Give it a chance.
Bad performance.
Half of it was because you forgot another user was logged on. And
and it was doing a SkyDrive sync.
Have a massive OneDrive sync.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you've got a million files, you take a million files of tax.
Yeah, it's true.
Or performance. Now we are back to the point where it's where you want it to be. Nice and beautiful and quiet, except for Process Explorer. This is, is it observation principle? What's it called? Observation effect.
Heisenberg?
Is it Heisenberg?
The Heisenberg uncertainty, or the...
By observation,
by observation, you change the results.
Yeah.
Yes.
Case in point, Presto's Explorer actually drawing the screen is chewing up 60% or nearly 100% of the CPU power.
Some Breaking Bad people may also recognize the Heisenberg reference.
Yeah. So there you go, system terminals in action.
Yes.
A little bit of CBS. A little bit of
CBS, not the broadcast network, but the component-based servicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is actually, the CBS log is just the thing that we typically use when we're looking at update problems or updates failing to install on a system or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So hot fixes.
But if it was something that was more endemic for every boot, mm-hmm. Windows Performance Toolkit boot tracing, we've got an episode on that, I think. If we don't, there'll be a question mark next to us in the show notes, and it'll be on the to-do list. If it's not, we'll link back to it. Actually, I think there is one.
I think we did a boot tracing one with Sylvain.
Oh yeah, we did that recently too.
We did a boot performance issue, issues troubleshooting with Sylvain Goyet.
No, I don't.
you're getting all this first run stuff. You really haven't booted on.
It's been a long time.
You haven't used this machine in a while.
There you go. So, someone linking to us. Episode one, episode 43 seems to be.
It's pretty.
Weight analysis. That's not what you want.
Weight analysis.
But anyway.
We did a similar thing.
We did one of these is.
One there.
This one is. It was pretty recent.
Yeah.
It gets a bit of a blur. It was one of Media Experience, Critical Path Analyzer.
Boot Performance, and performance. 155.
There you go, 155. Yep. Yeah, we tend to, we've got so many done now, it kind of gets a bit of a...
Have we covered that or not?
Yeah.
Wait, 2.5 years ago? I don't know. Yeah. No, but that one was recent, so that was a really cool one, too.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right. Well, that's our show.
Unexpected, but...
Yes, we had something else we sort of had... an idea to do, and then it's like, well,
I can't really.
We can't because his computer's too slow. So, well, let's make that the show.
All right. Hope you enjoyed it anyway.
Yes, I think we covered some cool stuff. So,
yeah.
All right. So, thanks, Andrew. Thanks for watching, everybody. If you have questions or comments, as always, put them in the show notes down there, or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. We'll see you next time.
See you next week.